Radio Live with your hosts, Jim and Sandy Young. Welcome, everyone. I am Reverend Sandy.
And I am Reverend Jim.
Welcome to Angel Talk Radio Live. Our show is sponsored by the Living Light Center, a church of faith and healing. For anyone interested, Jim and I do personal readings. And if you'd like to have a personal reading, you can call 304-567-3354 or email sandysangeltalk@aol.com. That's sandysangeltalk@aol.com. Well, welcome everyone to Angel Talk. Today we have a special show that we're going to share with you that is Joy and Happiness Can Be Ours. You know, we shape our lives through the power of our attention, and we are seeking to be fulfilled with joy and happiness. So we invite you to join us as we share the many ways to increase and amplify the joy and happiness in our life. First, I would like to start off with a prophecy. And when God blesses you with the gift of life, He empowers you to be creative, to utilize your physical body to express your inner connections with Him. He gives you willpower to develop yourself, to make a career, to learn and grow intellectually and become spiritually aware. And even when you fail, He is there to help you get up and try again. His promise to you is if you believe in Him, He will always be there for you. And as we grow intellectually, we embrace more decisions, and our focus must never turn to just the self. We must always keep a connection to each other, remembering we are each other's brothers and sisters, keepers, and even in times of disappointment, we must find a way to forgive and grow through the problem. God promises if you have faith, He will bring even better things to you. His light and love will guide you in the best and worst of times. Jesus came to bring hope to each person, and salvation shall be yours who believe and follow God's ways. To remember to embrace the good and the joy and allow the peace that follows, for the Holy Spirit will be with you, giving you the hope you need. Through the joy you hold within you, it will empower you to greater and greater levels of success and happiness. So embrace this gift and never willingly give it all away or give it up. You are meant to be co-creators with God and bring His glory to each other on this planet. To know His love is never ending. And when you allow yourself to be filled with joy, happiness, and love, God will use you to bring greater blessings to the people's lives you touch, that you may lift their souls, give them hope and a purpose to believe in God, and your life will be filled with the glory of the Holy Spirit. For as we are all connected consciously to one another, we must try our best to keep each other in whatever way we can and to know that we are always one, one with each other and one with God. Thank you and blessings to you. So, Howard Cutler shared some messages from the Dalai Lama where he said that, "I believe that happiness can be achieved through training the mind. Even the word happy is derived from the Icelandic word hap, meaning luck or chance." The Dalai Lama was quick to explain, "When I saw training the mind in this context, I'm not referring to mind merely as one's cognitive abilities or intellect. Rather, I'm using the term in the sense of the Tibetan word sem, which has a much broader meaning, close to psyche or spirit. It includes intellect and feeling, heart, and mind. And by bringing about a certain inner discipline, we can undergo a transformation of our attitude, our entire outlook and approach to living. When we speak of this inner discipline, it can, of course, involve many things and many methods. But generally speaking, one begins by identifying those factors which lead to happiness and those factors which lead to suffering. And having done this, one then sets about gradually eliminating those factors which lead to suffering and cultivating those which lead to happiness. Personal happiness can manifest as a simple willingness to reach out to others, to create a feeling of affinity and goodwill, even in the briefest of encounters. The purpose of our existence is to seek happiness. It seems like common sense. And Western thinkers from Aristotle to William James have agreed with this idea. Happy people, in contrast, are generally found to be more sociable, flexible, creative, and are able to tolerate life's daily frustrations more easily than unhappy people. And most important, they're found to be more loving and forgiving than unhappy people. Researchers have devised that happy people exhibit a certain quality of openness, a willingness to reach out and help others. And as we identify the factors that lead to a happier life, we will learn how the search for happiness offers benefits not only for the individual, but for the individual's family and society at large as well. It has been observed that happiness is determined by one's state of mind rather than by external events. There are steps we can take to work with the mind factor to enhance our feelings of happiness. This is because our moment-to-moment happiness is largely determined by our outlook. In fact, whether we are feeling happy or unhappy at any given moment often has very little to do with our absolute conditions, but rather it's a function of how we perceive our situation and how satisfied we are with what we have. Our feelings of contentment are strongly influenced by our tendency to compare. When we compare our current situations to our past and find that we're better off, we feel happy. You know, for example, when we are making more money, we've just gotten a big raise, you know, but when we get used to our new income and discover that we won't be happy again unless we're making more money, or we compare ourselves to others, no matter how much we make, we tend to be dissatisfied with our income if our neighbor is making more. So, we can see how our feelings of life satisfactions often depends on who we compare ourselves to. Researchers have conducted a number of experiments demonstrating that one's level of life satisfaction can be enhanced simply by shifting one's perspective and contemplating how things could be worse. At the State of the University of New York at Buffalo, subjects were asked to complete the sentence, "I'm glad I'm not a," and they completed the sentence. After 5 repetitions of this exercise, the subjects experienced a distinct elevation in their feelings of life satisfaction. While another group of subjects were asked by the experimenters to complete the sentence, "I wish I were a," and then finished the sentence. This time, the experiment left the subjects feeling more dissatisfied with their lives. You see, the Dalai Lama explains, although it is possible to achieve happiness, happiness is not a simple thing. There are many levels. In Buddhism, for instance, there is a reference to the 4 factors of fulfillment or happiness: wealth, worldly satisfactions, spirituality, and enlightenment. Together, they embrace the totality of an individual's quest for happiness. Good health is considered to be one of the necessary factors for a happy life. Another factor that we regard as a source of happiness is our material facilities, or the wealth that we accumulate. An additional factor is to have friendship or companionship. We all recognize that in order to enjoy a fulfilled life, we need a circle of friends with whom we can relate emotionally and trust. All of these factors are, in fact, sources of happiness. But in order for an individual to be able to fully utilize them towards the goal of enjoying a happy and fulfilled life, your state of mind is the key. If we utilize our good health or wealth in positive ways in helping others, they can be contributory factors in achieving a happier life. Without the right mental attitude, without attention to the mental factor, these things have very little impact on our long-term feelings of happiness. If you harbor hateful thoughts or intense anger somewhere deep down within yourself, then it ruins your health. Thus, it destroys one of the factors. If you can maintain a calm, peaceful state of mind, then you can be a very happy person, even if you have poor health. Today, there are societies that are very developed mentally. Yet among them, there are many people who are not very happy. Just underneath the beautiful surface of affluence, there is a kind of mental unrest, leading to frustration, unnecessary quarrels, reliance on drugs or alcohol, and in the worst case, suicide. So there is no guarantee that wealth alone can give you the joy or fulfillment that you're seeking. All of this indicates the tremendous influence that the mental state, the mind factor, has on our experience of daily life. The greater the level of calmness of your mind, the greater our peace of mind, the greater our ability to enjoy a happy and joyful life. Peace of mind, or a calm state of mind, is rooted in affection and compassion. There is very high level of sensitivity and feeling there. So as long as there is a lack of inner discipline that brings calmness of mind, no matter what external facilities or conditions you have, they will never give you the feeling of joy and happiness that you're seeking. On the other hand, if you possess this inner quality, a calmness of mind, a degree of stability within you, then even if you lack various external facilities that you would normally consider necessary for happiness, it is still possible to live a happy and joyful life. So how can we achieve inner contentment? Well, a reliable method is not to have everything we want, but rather to want and appreciate what we have. How many times do we feel like we want to go out there and we want a new car and we want a bigger house and we want, you know, this beautiful jewelry and this expensive clothing and all, you know, it becomes gluttony almost. And a lot of the things we want get stashed away and become baggage later down in our life, you know? And then we have all this stuff to deal with after that. So if we just have what we need, what we really need to have, then you'll find more peace of mind. We've seen how working on mental outlook is a more effective means of achieving happiness than seeking it through external sources such as wealth or position or even physical health. But another internal source of happiness, closely linked with an inner feeling of contentment is a sense of self-worth. You can have two different types of individuals. On the one hand, you have a wealthy, successful person surrounded by relatives and so on. And if that person's source of dignity and sense of worth is only material, then so long as his fortune remains, maybe that person could sustain a sense of security. But the moment the fortune wanes, the person will suffer because there is no other refuge. On the other hand, you can have another person enjoying similar economic status and financial success, but at the same time, that person is warm and affectionate and has a feeling of compassion because that person has another source of wealth, another source that gives him or her a sense of dignity, another anchor. There is less chance of that person becoming depressed if his or her fortune happens to disappear. So through this type of reasoning, you can see the very practical value of human warmth and affection in developing an inner sense of worth. The highest happiness is when one reaches the stage of liberation, at which there is no suffering. That's genuine, lasting happiness. True happiness relates more to the mind and heart. Happiness that depends mainly on physical pleasure is unstable. One day it's there, the next day it's not. And understanding that indulgence in destructive pleasures, although there are no easy solutions to avoiding these destructive pleasures, fortunately we have a place to begin. The simple reminder that what we are seeking in life is happiness. If we approach our choices in life, keeping that in mind, it is easier to give up the things that are ultimately harmful to us, even if those things bring us monetary pleasure. The reason why it is so unusually so difficult to just say no is found in the word no. That approach is associated with a sense of rejecting something, of giving something up, or denying ourselves. But there is a better approach. Framing any decision we face by asking ourselves, will it bring me happiness? That simple question can be a powerful tool in keeping us skillfully conducted all areas of our life. So approaching our daily decisions and choices with this question in mind shifts the focus from what are we denying ourselves to what are we seeking? Ultimate happiness, a kind of happiness that is stable and persistent. So the first step in seeking happiness is learning. We first have to learn how negative emotions and behaviors are harmful to us and how positive emotions are helpful. And we must realize how these negative emotions are not only very bad and harmful to one personally, but harmful to society and to the future of the whole world as well. That kind of realization enhances our determination to face and overcome them. And then there is the realization of the beneficial aspects of the positive emotions and behaviors. So once we realize that, we become determined to cherish, develop, and increase those positive emotions, no matter how difficult that is. There is a kind of spontaneous willingness from within. So through this process of learning, of analyzing which thoughts and emotions are beneficial and which are harmful, we gradually develop a firm determination to change feeling. Now, the secret to my own happiness, my own fortune, is within my own hands. I would regard a compassionate, warm, kind-hearted person as healthy. And if you maintain a feeling of compassion, loving kindness, then something automatically opens your inner door. And through that, you can communicate much more easily with other people. And that feeling of warmth creates a kind of openness. You'll find that all human beings are just like you, so you'll be able to relate to them more easily. That gives you a spirit of friendship. Then there's less need to hide things. And as a result, feelings of fear, self-doubt, and insecurities are automatically dispelled. Also, it creates a feeling of trust from other people. Cultivating positive mental states like kindness and compassion definitely leads to better psychological health and happiness. Every day, as soon as you get up, you can develop a sincere, positive motivation, thinking, I will utilize this day in a more positive way. I should not waste this very day. And then at night, before bed, check what you've done, asking yourself, did I utilize this day as I planned? If it went accordingly, then you should rejoice. If it went wrong, then regret what you did and critique the day. So through methods such as this, you can gradually strengthen the positive aspects of the mind. It is felt that a self-disciplined mind leads to happiness, and an undisciplined mind leads to suffering. The most important use of knowledge and education is to help us understand the importance of engaging in more wholesome actions and bringing about discipline within our minds. The proper utilization of our intelligence and knowledge is to effect change from within to develop a good heart. So I believe that our fundamental nature is gentleness and intelligence. And if that human ability, that human intelligence develops in an unbalanced way without being properly counterbalanced with compassion, then it can become destructive. It can lead to disaster. When human intelligence and human goodness or affection are used together, all human actions become constructive. And when we combine a warm heart with knowledge and education, we can learn to respect others' views and others' rights. This becomes the basis of a spirit of reconciliation that can be used to overcome aggression and resolve all of our conflicts. You know, the process of learning to respond with joy during times of trial in our life must begin with a conscious awareness that God is at work in our lives and that He has a tangible purpose for why we may be experiencing these trials. You know, in other words, if we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, Romans 10:9, and if we believe that His Word teaches us that God is at work in our lives, Philippians 2:13, then we will come to the logical conclusion that trials, suffering, and difficult times in our lives are ultimately designed by God and that He has a specific purpose for us in mind. Angelina Wilkes shared some information, and I really enjoyed it. What gives us joy and gladness? Is it a filled pocketbook? Is it ownership of several estates and businesses? What is the treasure that you are valuing and seeking? Review your life. What do you hold most important and work the hardest for, thinking that it's going to be your ticket to ultimate happiness? Well, and the angel said to him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you will call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness. and a great many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he will not drink wine or in strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while he is still in the womb of his mother. And many Israelites will cause to turn to the Lord their God, and he will go before them with the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of parents to their children and those who are disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. And he will prepare a true people for the Lord. And a great many will rejoice at his birth. Why will there be rejoicing? The answer is given in these words. And many Israelites he will cause enlightened to turn to the Lord. We are like the Israelites, looking for freedom, power, and an earthly kingdom. We have yet to realize that our freedom, our power, and our joy is the kingdom within us. John the Baptist, even in his mother's womb, was spiritually developed, having the gift to lift the conscience of those who were seeking peace. It was the spirit within John that would bring about a change of heart in the Israelites. So it is with us. It is the presence of one who is spiritually evolved, both visibly or invisibly, that activates changes in our consciousness. His light cast upon us brings forth our own brilliance. And once we have made this change of heart and direction, then the words of the angelic messenger will ring true, and we will have joy and happiness. When we are lifted with joy, we express ourselves in song or in other art forms such as dance and poetry and theatrics. Creative expressions are extensions of ourselves. They mirror our consciousness. Creative forms reflect our values and our degree of enlightenment. Our personal awareness and that of the world is mirrored in the environments we create. The art forms, the colors, the designs, the patternings, the fashions, the literature express our degree of spiritual maturity. So as we continue our spiritual evolution, and as we come into our higher and pure essence, so also will our art forms and architecture change. We can anticipate more brilliance, more lightness, and more harmony in textures, designs, and patternings. Musical tones will be of as yet unknown harmonics. Architectures will reflect a more balanced, harmonious spirit and greater simplicity. And literature, too, will originate from a higher wisdom, heretofore unknown. Our wisdom will be reflected in form, and our spirit will rejoice. When told, "I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which will be to all the world," the message heard by the shepherds was one of immense joy. It was one of new hope. It was a message embellished with glory to celebrate, you know, universally for all ages. So what was this message? A Savior is born. Those are words of encouragement to us today, as they are to the shepherds. We want to rescue from our own personal and world turmoils. We are hungry for freedom from fear, from oppression, and from our personal and world confusions, like the shepherds waiting for a Messiah. What are we truly celebrating? What is the hope, the encouragement, the divinity of our being? This is our freedom. And through the Gospels, we come to an understanding of the spiritual self. We nurture our spiritual insights received through these teachings. And this nurturing brings us into greater dimensions of ourselves. So when touched by the Gospels, we change our lifestyles by simplifying our homes and our surroundings. We revise our thoughts from self-orientation to others. And through these changes, we find our lives flowing smoothly and painlessly because we have greater inner peace. In this new harmonious state, we understand the message. I bring you glad tidings of great joy. Our life process is to become strong in spirit. We are seeds of consciousness maturing in God awareness. And through this life process, we blossom in spirit and in strength. What then are the signs of being strong in spirit? Well, there are many. When we are strong in spirit, we are anchored in our own being, like a tree is anchored in the earth. Our strength is from within. We rely upon our inner resources rather than our outer supports. We have wisdom that we have reaped from our life experiences and our inner revelations. One who is strong in spirit has a focus, a purpose of his or her own being, and takes responsibility for its growth. When we are strong in spirit, we are not shattered by life experiences that test us. Whatever comes in our path, we receive and accept with total presence to its teaching. We honor our thoughts and feelings that accompany these teachings. We do not label the experience as good or bad, right or wrong, successful or inadequate. We work with and through our feelings, and in our understandings, we advance in awareness. Those who are strong in spirit see life as an adventure. All of us like adventure. It carries with it anticipation while being fully present to the happenings of the moment. And what happens in an adventure? Each moment unfolds into the adventure of the next moment and keeps us at full attention. This is what happens to us when we are maturing in God awareness. This maturing begins in our childhood, our time of awakening to our spiritual self. Nurturing and supportive parents are the sunshine and the rain that are the guidance in the flowering of the child. And know that joy is connected to your strength. Joy is a necessity. Without joy, you are weak. So, you know, you have to be proactive. You have to say, I'm going to be joyful, and take everything you can to follow through with this joy. Whatever is in your heart is what comes forth into expression. Those of us who have our hearts filled with kindness, gentleness, and patience will pour out from our inner vessel those very attributes. But on the other hand, if our hearts are filled with bitterness or unworthiness or any kind of self-negation, then we will pour out from our heart vessel those impressions. Why do you see the splinter in your brother's eyes and do not see the beam in your own eye? Why do you negate others by looking for the wrong in them? Why do we have a judgmental mind? There are many reasons behind these questions. We feel better about ourselves when we have belittled another. This gives us the satisfaction, a feeling of worth. Another reason is that we have been conditioned by prejudice, judgments, and gossip prevalent in our home and work environments. We now see others through these perspectives. Or a third reason is that we have set up expectations of people, so our minds are constantly making comparisons. Another cause is that we are threatened by others, and our defense is to react with condemnation or fault-finding. We also need to be mindful that the planetary atmosphere holds judgmental vibrations from all of us. So when we are not focused on our inner self, we can easily be targets for these vibrations. Most important for us to understand is that usually what we judge or criticize in others is a truth about ourselves. It is an aspect of ourselves that we have repressed and which is now being mirrored back to us. Each one of us has to examine his or her own heart to find the cause for seeing the splinter in the eye of another and not the beam in his own eye. If we find ourselves to be hard on others or ourselves, we are not to condemn ourselves. To rise in consciousness, we acknowledge our shortcomings and then resolve to change our ways. So as judgmental thoughts come to our attention, we can transmute them with the electrical fire of divine love. And in our pondering, we can come to understand that each one of us is a product of experiences and memories. The projections are facets of ourselves to be redeemed. And with such enlightenment, we no longer look upon our brothers and sisters with fault-finding eyes, but with understanding and patience and compassion. And if we take to heart the words of the Masters, we will then rest upon a foundation of divine strength whose bricks are glued together with pure love, patience, compassion, and harmony. And with such a foundation, no earthly event will shake us up because our consciousness is rooted upon the rock of divinity. And on the other hand, if we know the truth intellectually but do not live accordingly, we have no foundation. When shattering earth events happen, we succumb emotionally and we are mentally distraught. We fall deeply into despair and with no abundance of divine strength in our hearts. But there is hope. We can choose to identify with our spiritual self and let that be our foundation.
You know, and it is so true. One of the things that I think sometimes that we forget is that we don't always have the same mindset. You know, things come along and they tend to bring us down, and other things come along and they tend to bring us down. Other things come along and they tend to bring us down. And sometimes we feel like, my goodness gracious, is this going to stop? When can I be lifted up out of this chaos? And if you are truly a spiritual being and truly love God, you know, these things will occur in your life. It's just that simple. Many Christians that I talk to, they swear that if you're a Christian, that you're protected from all that, that it shouldn't have to come your way. But you will be the first ones that are, you know, one could say attacked, because you are the one standing in the way of the not-so-shiny light from having its own way. And so the key is that we have to remember, who is our guardian? Who is it that has promised, you know, to take care of us, to lift us up, to keep us in that laughter state, in that happy state? Number one, if you've noticed lately, all of the TV shows almost, even the ones that were comedies, you know, they have within them, you know, either relationship issues or, you know, somebody being killed or, I mean, even in comedies. And you can hardly find a show anymore that it's not that way. And that is one of the worst things we can do, because with sound, we don't know what's really being projected through the sound. We don't always know what's being projected through the picture. And so we have to discern very carefully what it is we watch, who it is, you know, we hang out with as friends. Not that, you know, everybody has to be perfect, because nobody is, but you have to be careful to not let someone else's issues bring you down, because what comes down is one or the other. It is either, you know, it is either keeping you down, keeping you, you know, in a destructive, inner destructive mode, or it is bringing you laughter and happiness. And those come from above, and they come down through oneself. And one of the things that you'll find throughout the Psalms, and it's been said that you can find the entire Bible in the Psalms, but David was known as a man after God's own heart. And the idea is we have to throw away all the ideas that joy is found in things that are apart from God, or that God is serious or gloomy, you know, despondent, negative, critical, sort of a religious individual who will smack you over the wrist with a wooden ruler as soon as you step out of line. You know, and too often religions have taught that basically over and over and over again. And so it's hard to go up, because the minute you go up, there's a little bit of a feeling of guiltiness. And believe it or not, that is a normal reaction to being lifted up, because it doesn't happen as often as it should. And, you know, David wrote, "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad." What the Psalms are, and this is throughout all the Psalms if you read them, and what David is trying to explain here is that we sometimes have it backwards. You know, if we're in a bad way, we pray, you know, God, lift us out of this, take us out of this, you know, push this away, you know, whatever is, you know, causing me to feel this way, you know, lift me out of it. But you see, God already knows our needs before we ask. The whole idea is begin to act it out, even the, especially the dreams. This is the time on our planet when we will dream dreams that are real. Don't you dream dreams sometimes that are very real? And most of them are good. Most of them are happy dreams. Most of them, you know, I mean, give us a sense or a feeling of the love of God. And when that happens, consider that the dream is the reality. And when you wake up, everything else in the day is an illusion. The only thing that is real is the dream, or God. And God communicates to us very often through the dream. And it's the whole idea. The whole idea is dreaming the dream. If you are praying for a brand new house, a brand new car, and you think that's going to make you happy, it will not. Because, you know, unless it's you're praying because I need adequate transportation to get to work. Okay, you know, God may well fulfill that request. But the idea here is praise him for it. Praise God ahead of time. Lift your hands up and sing a joyful noise unto the Lord. And who cares who hears it? Who cares who sees it? The more that see it will wonder, what is that about? You know, and want to know more. And that's the key. We try to do things in behind the scenes where people can't hear them or see them. You know, sing. Every day, one should sing spiritual songs because it creates a vibration and frequency that moves through the ethers rather than when you just stand still or you speak in words. There are more particles than there are flowing. Singing creates a flow. And when you have a flow, well, what is a flow? It's God is not the God of too little. God is not the God of almost. God is the God of overflow. And when things begin to flow, they continue to build upon themselves. And be happy. Don't just act it. Be happy. Be happy where you're at. Be happy with what you've got. And dream the dreams. Ask for the dreams. And when you wake in the morning and you've had one of those dreams, praise God for the dream and praise God for the restoration that will come because of you being able to have seen or experienced the dream. It's not about luck. It's not about gaming tables. You know, it's not about, you know, an extra $1,000 in your pocket. You know, those things are fleeting. And when God restores us to the situation that we are meant to be in, then all fortune will come to you. And you will be happier. If you really think about it, which would make you feel the best? That you got a new house, or that you had the love of God pouring through you and making you so happy and so joyful and laughing so much that you just couldn't help it. And everybody around you shared it with, started doing the same thing. Which of those two would you really want to have? I know which one I would want to have, because only one of them's real. The other one, it could fall apart next week. There could be a tornado that comes through and just wipes it out. And so the Psalms, which were songs, they were meant to be songs, and they were meant to be sung. They are a part of singing. And singing that you hear that lifts the roof of the sports stadium. This is the first shout when you score a touchdown or hit a home run or score A's on your test. That's the dream, and that's the joy. And the more we incorporate that into everything we do, praise God, and truly praise God for what He's already planned for you. And when you do that, it automatically brings it into your spatial environment, and it will become a definite part of you. Not something fake, not something that just people look happy because they got a smile on their face, but in reality, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. And that's the idea. Dream it, and ask to dream it. And when you wake up with that dream at that very moment, praise God for bringing it into your reality, into your walk, into your path, and anyone else that you can share with, you know, to bring them across your path too, and be happy about that you can actually do something to help bring about the manifestation of God in your life. So it's about God in the dream is restoring His people, which causes laughter, joy, and witness. And you notice how most everything that comes from God comes in threes. And it really is about being it. You know,
it is about that. You know, as we reflect upon the spiritual movements taking place across the planet, we feel encouraged. We see light on the horizon as the Master's teachings are incorporated into our hearts. You know, we recognize the divine power and love within us that is healing and melting away the layers of our bitterness or our worry and our vain imagining. You know, our joy in this work is profound. You know, we rejoice with those who are willing to see their lives from a spiritual perspective. We exult in the opportunities to expand the light of our soul by opening our hearts to others. And this selfless service registers eternally our names in heaven. And once our work is completed here, we, like the disciples, will return home with great joy. You know, David said that this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Is that not just the purpose?
And it's the only true happiness or joy one can have. Has to come through God, from God, and through us. And it comes down from the top, and it works its way down through our body. It's not the other way around. It comes down and through And truly, once you have felt this joy and this happiness, really, the things you need will come. And, you know, you might not get $10 million, but you need it. We're coming up upon a time very, very, very soon where nothing in the material is going to matter. And what's going to matter is the love of God. I remember about 15 years ago, an angel came to us, just the most beautiful angel, and she was a translucent yellow. And she said, the angel of joy. And I asked the question, are you saying that because you're coming here from the future, she said, I said, does that mean that at this moment on this planet, true joy does not exist? And she said, that is correct. People have not learned how to truly be joyful. It's fleeting, you know, or it's over this or over that, or I just received this. You know, it's not about the joy that comes from only from God. And it fills your heart and it overflows and it continues to overflow, just like, you know, a river that rolls through the desert, and it brings a whole new reality, a whole new restoring. And one of the first things to do is when we pray is to pray that we know that we need to be restored. And that requires humility to admit that you need restoring. And Jesus said, blessed or happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. The psalmist is saying that restoration begins with having the humility to ask for it and then to begin to live it every day. Live it. I mean, live it. Bring it inside you and live it. No matter what is coming your way, whatever is being thrown your way, you know, live the joy of knowing that God is with you. For if God is with you, as the scriptures say, who can be against you?
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. When you are one with God, there is a feeling like the world is just the best place to live. When you're separated from God, you know, you struggle. You really do. You know, and to get more joy back into our life, remember this. Change your attitude to get your joy back. You know, be joyful even if you're facing a trauma, because, you know, there's so many forces out there trying to knock you off balance and take away your strength and your joy, you know. But if at all times you remember, you know, when God closes one door, he opens another, and that there is brighter things and better things ahead for you. It's your faith and your belief that if you can hold strong through whatever you're going through, God will make things better.
It's true. And take time to center yourself and pray in humility to God for restoring to you what you need. You know, when the little children were climbing all over Jesus and the disciples tried to take them away, Jesus said, suffer not the little children. Do not take them away. I want them here. He said, because such is the kingdom of heaven. And the little children were laughing and playing and climbing all over him. And he was sending a very serious message that I don't care how old we get, how deep into something we get, how much work we do, there has to be that time when you can be that little child, even as they were, that he wanted them there. He requested them there. And the disciples didn't understand it, you know, much that they didn't understand, but he took the time to tell us, this is what you're meant to be. You're meant to be like this. And so it doesn't matter how much time you have in a day, how much time you don't have in a day, how busy you are, doesn't matter. Take the time out to set with yourself. And if it's a day when you know other people are praying, or people are praying every day, but especially on Sabbath and, you know, and on Sundays, and ask that your prayers be united with their prayers as they come before the throne of grace and mercy.
Yes, and look at every day. Look at it as a holy day. You know, because when you look at each day as a holy day, it has more importance in your mind. And then you'll have more focus and more willingness to put more effort towards it. God blessed us and allowed us to be here this lifetime. And now it's our turn to be creative, to be joyful, and to give praise and gratitude back to God for all that we have, even when we go through tough times. It is in our belief with God that those are the steps that will lead us back to the kingdom of heaven and one with the all.
Absolutely. And it is the only way home. And again, be it. Do it, be it, and embody it. And praise God for it before you even ask. And you will find that God has already heard your prayer long before you even ask it.
This is true. Well, Jim, I think we're coming to the end of our time here, you know, and we definitely want to thank everyone who has listened, you know, and we do invite you to listen again in 2 weeks. And we're grateful for all who are listening to our angel talk.
Yep. And remember, you know, we do prophecies. And if someone would like to have a prophecy concerning their own life's vision or life's path, give us a call at 304-567-3354 or 1-800-860-6605 and ask for Sandy of Angel Talk at the Living Light Center, and we'd be glad to do one for you. We've done over 10,000 readings and never had anyone have a complaint about them.
We thank you, and God bless.
God bless.
Welcome to Angel Talk Radio Live with your hosts, Jim and Sandy Young.
Welcome, everyone. I am Reverend Sandy.
And I am Reverend Jim.
Welcome to Angel Talk Radio Live. Our show is sponsored by the Living Light Center, a church of faith and healing. For anyone interested, Jim and I do personal readings. And if you'd like to have a personal reading, you can call 304-567-3354 or email sandysangeltalk@aol.com. That's S-A-N-D-Y-S-A-N-G-E-L-T-A-L-K@aol.com.